reborn from above as bride and bridegroom, where his righteousness for super life. Heavenly Father, we come before you and praise you for your loving kindness towards us every day. We thank you for the spiritual nourishment we get from your word. So bless us as we delve into the truths that you present to us in your word. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Galatians 3, verse 25 to 29. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the control and authority of a tutor and disciplinarian. For you who are born again have been reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified, and are all children of God, set apart for his purpose with full rights and privileges, through faith in Christ Jesus. Just want to discuss verse 25 and 26 quickly. It says, now that faith has come, meaning now that Jesus has come, and that's when we are no longer under the control of the law, being the tutor, the disciplinarian. We are children of God, set apart for his purposes, with the full rights and privileges, through faith in our beautiful Redeemer, Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes in Scripture we read Jesus Christ, and sometimes we read Christ Jesus. Same name, same person, but Christ Jesus is just putting the divinity of our Redeemer first, where Christ is his divine part and Jesus is his human part. I'll carry on with verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union with the Christ, the Anointed, have clothed yourself with Christ. That is, you have taken on his characteristics and values. When you are wearing a garment that covers you, it doesn't matter what kind of tattered clothes you might have arrived in. You put on this beautiful, stunning garment, and yeah, I'm quite sure you're bound to look good. And so, when we enter the Holy of Holies, when we come boldly into the throne room, that's when we are clothed with the righteousness that our Redeemer gives us. I've mentioned the swap before, where he swapped our sin for his righteousness. He's taken our sin and given us his righteousness. I'm not going to go into depth into that again, but this is what we're talking about. Remember, we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So when we are baptized into God's family, it's because we are children of God, born again believers. And that's when we take on the characteristics and values of Jesus as our own. And we live our lives according to his character traits and his values. So on to verse 28 and 29. There is now no distinction in regard to salvation. Neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you who believe are all one in Christ Jesus. No one can claim a spiritual superiority. And if you belong to Christ, if you are in him, then you are Abraham's descendants and spiritual heirs according to God's promise. Remember, the promise was made to Abraham's seed, that's singular, meaning Jesus. So when we are in him, when we are in Jesus, then we are Abraham's descendants, because Jesus himself said when a seed falls into the ground, it multiplies. That's in John 12, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. That's why that one seed has become many. That one heir, Jesus Christ, has become many heirs. That one descendant, Jesus Christ, has become many descendants. That's you and me and all the other children of God that ever lived and that ever will live. Speaking of wearing the right clothing, in Psalm 132, verse 9, Amplified Classic, it says, let your priests be clothed with righteousness, that's right living and right standing with God, and let your saints shout for joy. Remember, a saint isn't someone who's dead and famous. A saint is every believer. I'm a saint, you're a saint. I'm a saint, Flo, and you're a saint, whatever your name is. So we can shout for joy because we are clothed with the righteousness that has been given to us. This thought continues in Romans 3, verse 21 to 24. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So even if you consider yourself a good person, you might say, I haven't done anything really bad. You're still not perfect, you're still not holy, you still cannot meet God's high standards of perfection. And therefore we are all guilty of failing God in some way, whether it's a thought, a simple lie, a moment of rebellion, or even a rebellious thought, whether it's against parents or leaders or whatever it is. Every single person on planet Earth, except for Jesus Christ himself, has done something that makes him or her imperfect. But the next verse, verse 24, says we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So he redeemed us, and it's like that story of the little boy who made a wooden boat, and he was sailing it on the stream, and the current took it, and it went far away, and he couldn't find it anymore. And someone took it out of the stream and dried it off and took it to the shop and sold it to the shop owner at the second-hand shop. And the little boy went walking past and he saw his boat in the shop window. And he went, oh, you got my boat, you got my boat. He said, oh, no, that's not your boat. But it is, I made it. It was brought in here by somebody, and if you want it, you got to buy it. So the little boy went back home, emptied his piggy bank, and went back to the shop and bought the little boat. And he said, little boat, you're twice mine. I made you, and now I've bought you. And that's basically the story of Jesus with us. He made us, and then we became distanced from him through the sin, through the fall. And then he bought us back, and he paid the highest price imaginable, his own life, just to give us that free ticket to his home in a beautiful place. We call it heaven. And in verse 28 of our scripture of Galatians 3, it mentions that there's no Jew or Greek, there's no slave or free, there's no male or female. And this thought is echoed in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, TPT. Just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one Spirit we all were immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter our status, whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. So remember, there's no difference between people in God's family. The things that define us in our modern society, or not so modern society in the olden days, our nationality, our gender, all of that becomes totally irrelevant. We simply exist as people in God's family. We exist as part of God's family and part of Christ's body. So when we talk about being the bride of Christ, we are not female or male in the end after Jesus' return in that part of heaven that is outside of our current reality. That's when male and female is irrelevant, and we will be all part of that beautiful family, part of the bride of Christ, being neither male nor female, just being children of God. And just to reinforce the unity in the Spirit and the oneness of the Spirit, it's earlier in the same chapter of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3 to 7. Therefore, I want to impart to you an understanding of the following. No one speaking by the Spirit of God would ever say, Jesus is the accursed one. No one can say, Jesus is the Lord Yahweh, unless the Holy Spirit is speaking through him. It is the same Holy Spirit who continues to distribute many different varieties of gifts. The Lord Yahweh is one, and he is the one who apportions to believers different varieties of ministries. The same God distributes different kinds of miracles that accomplish different results through each believer's gift and ministry as he energizes and activates them. Each believer is given continuous revelation by the Holy Spirit to benefit not just himself, but all. And so I've heard Pastor Trevor mention many times that we are here for the benefit of others. The things that we learn, we can teach others. The restoration that we experience, we can reach out to others and restore them back to a relationship with God. And Jesus Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? It is getting two opposing parties to become unified again. And a sinful person is opposed to God, no matter how you look at it. And so when we are righteous, then we are on the same team, we're on the same side, and we are reconciled to the Creator of heaven and earth, our loving Heavenly Father. In Romans 5, verse 1 to 5, we read this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we see that we were in the grip of death, but now we are reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through that gift, perfect righteousness from Jesus, our Messiah. Because we have this glorious hope of the glory of God, which is going to be absolutely wonderful. We can't imagine how wonderful it is, but it's going to be lekker. That means really, 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 really nice. This is why we can glory in tribulations, because tribulation produces perseverance, which produces character, which produces hope, which does not disappoint us. So when we're going through tough times, don't think, what did I do wrong? Think, how can I learn? How can I become stronger? How can I persevere and build character and remember the hope that we have? It's the hope because of God's love and the Holy Spirit who was given to us as a gift, as a comforter. More thoughts on our spiritual clothing. We see in Isaiah 61, verse 10 to 11. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And so when we see things on the news that's happening, where evil people are seemingly getting away with murder, we know that God is causing righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So take heart, we are on the winning team. We are on the winning side. And this righteousness, and the price paid for this righteousness was willingly given. We see that in Hebrews 10, verse 5 to 7. So when Jesus the Messiah came into the world, he said, since your ultimate desire was not another animal sacrifice, you have clothed me with a body that I might offer myself instead. Multiple burnt offerings and sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice. So I said to you, God, I will be the one to go and do your will, to fulfill all that is written of me in your word. Again, I think of that little catchy tune, What If I Give All? Where God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are chatting about us, and Jesus said, what if I give all? What will that gift do? And we find out that that gift will save the world. Now remember, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. Where did I get that idea from? Romans 8, verse 10 to 13, TPT. Now Christ lives his life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes. God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste his abundant life. Who doesn't want abundant life? We all want it. And there's good news. In John 10, verse 10, says this. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. And that scripture promises us that abundant life. Whether we are physically rich or poor, whether we are physically successful or not successful, the fact is that when we live experiencing the love of God, we are automatically living that abundant life. Now that's what I call super life. So with all of that fuel in our tank, let's shine our lights.